Welcome to Remember Me by Intervivos, the show about living life to its fullest, leaving a legacy, and deciding how you will be remembered. And now, your humble team of expert planners, taking the legal world by storm.
Hi, welcome to Remember Me. I'm Glenn Wagstaff, and I'm here with Mike Black in the studio. And we have a special guest today. This is the show where we talk about deciding how you'll be remembered and planning for your future. And today we're going to talk about, we call them the sandwich generation. But, you know, those families that are taking care of parents who are getting older. And also you still have young kids at home. And so it can be stressful. And there's a lot of considerations that kind of go into that situation. And most of all, you know, what would happen to all those people that depend on you if something happened to you, right? And so we have a special guest today who's from the real estate industry, Colin Brinkerhoff, and, just very experienced in helping families finding not only, you know, the personal residences, but also investment properties and so on. And we wanted to talk today about some of the considerations that these sandwich generation families have when mom and dad move back in after being independent and, you know, maybe downsizing and that sort of thing. And likewise, you know, what are some of the living considerations that they have from a financial perspective and from just a day-to-day perspective? So, Colin, thanks for joining us today. Tell everybody just a little bit about your background and how you got into the industry.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for having me on the show, guys. It's an honor. So with me, I actually wasn't going to go into real estate. I didn't have much respect for realtors, to be right honest with you. I got a degree in psychology, and that was the path I was going to go down. But I grew up in a family that built custom homes, and everybody I knew who had money, they earned their money in the real estate industry. And I always wanted to get into investing in real estate. And as I started looking into that, it just ended up me getting my license. So since I got my license, I joined with a company called Ameritrue Real Estate Management. We're a full-service residential company where we do property management. We do regular buy and sell representation. And then I have a company that does HOA management, and I'm doing development as well. So real estate to me is a great vehicle for financial freedom, just with some patience.
So has your opinion of realtors changed since?
Holy smokes. I have a lot of respect for realtors now. I honestly had no idea how much goes into the behind the scenes of real estate. So the learning curve was not too bad for me since I grew up in it, but I had no idea how much work behind the scenes goes into effective real estate. There's a lot of agents out there that aren't really full-time and fully invested, but there are a lot of agents out there who put their whole heart and soul into it. I consider myself one of those agents, and it definitely takes all my time.
So, you know, it's interesting, especially talking about this demographic of the sandwich generation just in general, and here in Utah in particular. But, you know, a lot of times I sit with families and they want to handle everything themselves. And there's nothing wrong with trying to be self-sufficient and doing it yourself. But when you just don't know what you don't know, right, then the problems come up. Then if you don't have somebody there to help you through it, it just compounds and becomes worse. And I see that, you know, in the real estate industry, but I see that just kind of across the board, right?
Well, yeah, in real estate, there are so many options, and most of us are only aware of a few of the options. So that's where you get a real estate professional who that's what they do every day, and it opens up all kinds of avenues and paths. And one thing I've learned in this industry is everybody has a unique situation. So it's hard to speak generally about real estate because everybody's in a unique situation, budget, family situation, where they need to be located, type of home they need. So you got to juggle all of those and then try to find the perfect fit for them. And it's a lot of work sometimes.
So let's talk in general terms. You know, what are the most common things that prompt somebody to want to get a new house?
So right now, a lot of it is right now people are seeing interest rates. Interest rates are incredible. I just had one of my clients got a quote, and it was at 3% for an FHA loan. That is extremely low. So a lot of people, they want, it's kind of the American dream to own real estate, and to get in while the interest rate's so low is awesome. But there's divorce causes you to have to sell or split up assets or to relocate. A lot of it's job relocation. But it seems a lot of my clients are younger people that are just trying to continue to progress in life, and they're getting married, or they just want to start paying off their own mortgage instead of a landlord's mortgage. And so there's all kinds of reasons. Those are some of the big reasons why people are buying and selling right now.
So, you know, as we talk about the sandwich generation, I think a big kind of thing that ends up happening is that you outgrow the space you're in, because now, you know, when you first got married, right, it was our first house. It was just me and my wife, and then we had a baby, and, you know, it was a small place, and it was fine. But, you know, now that we have four kids at home, and imagine if we were, you know, taking care of grandma. Mm-hmm. Well, now there's no space in a small house, right? So you need a larger space. So, you know, when somebody's kind of making that jump from something that was more comfortable on a smaller scale to something that's, you know, maybe more of a stretch, what are some of the considerations or some of the kind of the worries of growing into a bigger house?
Well, in this term you're using, the sandwich generation, that wasn't a term I was very familiar with, but I definitely see it a lot. And I used to live in California in the LA area, and I saw it a lot there several years ago, and it's definitely coming here. I think what's causing a lot of this forced into the sandwich generation situation is pricing. Utah used to be kind of a cheap market. It's getting expensive, though, as everybody out there is well aware of.
The secret got out.
The secret's out. Utah is the place to live. It is an honest to goodness best place on earth in my mind. So I don't blame anyone for moving here, especially everyone coming from California. But you get these people. There's all kinds of situations of why you end up as the homeowner having mom or dad move in with you, and then you still have your kids that you're dealing with. The big dilemma right now in real estate is affordability. That is a huge issue on the state level. The state is incentivizing cities to allow developers to come in and build more affordability. But what we're seeing is the young people that want to get into houses, they can't afford them. And the people who are trying to downsize, the empty nesters, they're trying to downsize, and there's nothing for them to downsize into. So it ends up people combining their incomes and sharing houses. So I guess really the solution is you're trying to find a home. Ideally, it's going to be a Rambler style floor plan. It's going to have a walkout basement, which in Utah, you know, we get basements here in a lot of the areas. It's going to allow easier access for somebody that's getting older, maybe wheelchair access or less stairs, master bedroom on the main floor. But there's only so many of those properties out there as well. So it is a big dilemma right now. When I say we do developing, what we're developing is condos. So we're trying to build throughout Utah. We've got a project going down in Washington City, so southern Utah. We have one in Orem. We have one in Provo. We have one in Springville, so just south of Provo, where we're building condos. They're $180,000. They're cheap for people to get into. So, but people who don't have the ability, most of these parents, they have a home they can sell, they can consolidate. So if you have two people that have the homes, there's some great options out there. If you can consolidate, sell both homes and go find something that's going to be a little bit easier to hold two families, they're out there. Probably newer construction. For these families that are bringing in older parents, you got to take into consideration bathroom size. Like, what your structure, your bones need to be good so that in 4 or 5 years, you could easily do some cosmetic changes to a bathroom to make them a little more handicap accessible, or wider hallways or wider stairways where you could easily put in a chairlift if needed. So those are things that you got to look into in advance. Parking's also always an issue, it seems like, when you're trying to bring more than one family into a house. So you just need to be aware of things like that as well.
So you know, we want to kind of explore this further, and especially I think the concept of, you know, a lot of seniors looking to downsize and just talking about why that might be. Before we break here, you know, in Northern California, it's a huge dilemma, because pretty much anywhere that you would buy a property, buy a home, is not affordable for just one person. And so you have these families that are living together, and it's going to become something that, you know, when people pass away, it can only be subdivided so much, right?
Right, right.
So, again, Colin Brinkerhoff, tell everybody, you know, what your phone number is in case they want to get hold of you.
Yeah, my name's Colin Brinkerhoff. I'm with Ameritrue Real Estate and Management. My number's 801-380-8995.
We'll be back in a second. Back to Remember Me, the show where we talk about planning your future and deciding how you'll be remembered. During the break, we were just talking a little bit, and Mike was telling us about how he's been working on his basement and, you know, finishing it and, you know, putting some extra living space down there. And that's a common thing that happens when families need to create more living space for relatives that are moving in, right? Especially mom and dad, and they get older. And so I'm curious, Mike, tell us a little bit about, you know, your thoughts on that. But also, you know, I think that this is maybe something that's kind of affecting a lot of the, I know a few handymen that are just staying busy all day long, all the time, because they're, you know, and I think a lot of it is because the demographic is that, you know, families need to expand or grow the property that they have to be able to accommodate, you know, some of these changes that people that, you know, family members that move in need, right?
But, you know, we had my son and his wife staying with us for a while. They were only supposed to stay for a couple of months, but we didn't really have a space for him. We had it was all roughed in, so it wasn't really ready for him. But we decided that if they were going to stay for longer, which they stayed for almost 2 years, we were going to build an apartment down there, someplace for them to stay. So we finished the bathroom off, the bedroom off. We plumbed and wired it for a kitchen. You know, and it's basically a mirror image of what we have upstairs, but we took it down, and instead of three bedrooms down, we just had two bigger bedrooms. So my office is a huge room right now, and it's not finished, but the bedroom's finished, the bathroom's finished, the front room's pretty much finished. We're finishing those things off, and it's for, you know, and my wife wanted to see if we could probably do maybe an Airbnb later on or things like that, but, you know, we wanted to find a place that, you know, if somebody needed to come and stay, they had a place to stay, that they could be kind of on their own and have independent living.
You know, back in the days of the pioneers, you have these, you know, families that would live together in a small confined space. Now, nowadays, you know, there's so many uses that you can do, Airbnb and all kinds of different things that you can do with your property. But there's a dilemma that's happening in, you know, Northern California is a perfect example of this, of families that they just can't afford a place to live unless they're, you know, combining household incomes, right? So you have two or three families living together in a place. And what happens when, you know, grandma passes away and then she's going to leave the property to the kids? Well, it can only be divided so much. And even if they were to sell it, they wouldn't have enough money to get their own place.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's interesting how kind of there's these cycles of, you know, the families that have kids move out, they go to college, and then they end up moving back in, right? Because they have to live somewhere, and they can't afford anywhere else. And then you have the dilemma of these aging parents that are getting to the point where they need long-term care, they need some supervision, and they're going to have to move back in with somebody to be able to have assistance. We took care of my great grandma, you know, in her last days when she was kind of on hospice, and she lived with us at home. And so that's something that's becoming very common. So we have Colin Brinkerhoff here on the show, Ameritrue Real Estate. So So, Colin, yeah, tell us about kind of what you've seen in that regard in terms of the demographics. And
well, I tell you what, that example is very, very common right now. And a lot of my clients, they like to see an unfinished basement when we're going out to buy a house because they see the vision of, hey, I could add in a kitchen. A kitchen's not too bad to add, you know. Usually there's plumbing there. Because there's usually a bathroom that's all plumbed in and you can put a kitchen close to it. And there's usually a family room space and squeeze in maybe one or two bedrooms. And it's nice to have the idea of supplemental income coming in to help cover your mortgage. Mortgages are getting expensive. They're getting hard to afford. But, I mean, myself growing up, my grandpa was on dialysis and they couldn't really take care of themselves at home anymore, so we moved them into our basement, and he lived there for the rest of his life. And it was actually pretty cool to have that relationship and to be able to bond with him and be there with him, but it was also extremely helpful for him, right? So lots of people are in that situation. So when you're out there looking for homes, an unfinished basement is not a bad thing. There are, like you mentioned, handymen that are out there. From my management side of the business, we have a lot of handymen. And the good ones always end up leaving to go finish basements because there's so many people that want to finish their basements. And it's relatively cheap square footage to finish compared to building a whole house. And you get to design it how you want it. So that's a great option. Now, you guys, a lot of people are looking at the Salt Lake market right now, and I have a lot of clients thinking, oh, there's going to be a crash, or, oh, I'm going to wait for the prices to come back down. But what I've seen is that Governor Herbert's done a really good job of making Utah a great place to bring business. Businesses are coming in. Utah has a unique culture where a lot of people like to stay near their families, believe it or not. So people are staying in Utah. There was a study done from the University of Utah. Now, I can't remember the PhD's name who said this, who I got this info from. So, but he said that we are 55,000 homes short in Utah for the demand. So that's causing prices to go up, interest rates. If you guys are curious, the average listing price in Utah or in Salt Lake right now is $389,441. The average sold price is $384,654. So we're pretty much getting asking price. The average day on market before a home goes under contract is only 42 days. That's not even a month and a half. So it is definitely a seller's market. So you got to be aware of that while you're out shopping for the ideal home. And there's some things you don't be afraid of, like an unfinished basement, because the potential that's there.
So, you know, the industry, I'm sure, is affected by, you know, changes in demographics all the time, right? Yeah. And one of the things that we see is the baby boomers are now getting past retirement age, and it was the biggest generation up until its point, right? And so, you know, senior living communities and stuff, is that becoming a big trend in development?
Oh, it's huge, and it's a money maker homes for investors. Yeah, it's big, but they're not cheap, you know, so it's not for everybody. I wouldn't call it affordable.
So one of the questions there is that if you're in a senior living community, I mean, one of the expectations is that you don't have, you know, younger families there. That can become difficult if you have, you know, kids that have to move back in, right? Or if you have to, you know, live with your kids as families, to, you know, have them take care of you. That sandwich generation we've been talking about.
Right. And that from the HOA management side, if you go into a community of 55 and older community, that community is managed by a homeowners association. So this is another one of those things I do. But it needs to be managed appropriately or they'll lose that designation of 55 and older. And so you go in there and you invest in that community and you want to just have no kids around. But if it's not managed how it's supposed to be, you lose that, and then it loses the whole appeal of why you moved there in the first place. So that's just something to be aware of. But
so I always imagine HOAs, and maybe this is because I'm a anti-HOA kind of guy.
Yeah, most
but I always
people
imagine
are.
Like, you know, that they're in those communities, they're probably old and crotchety and stuck in their ways, right?
Well,
but,
yeah.
But is
so
it actually, like,
as a management company, we have a board of directors from the community, and we really just consult that board of directors, and we really do everything behind the scenes for that board because that's not their full time job. But they're members from the community, so if you get a president of the board from the community in there that's old and crotchety and doesn't want something a certain way, and they're going to try to push their way around.
As a whole, is that kind of how it usually is with these senior communities, or is it because they all kind of have a like-minded that they usually get along pretty well?
Yeah, no, it seems like they usually get along pretty well. There's not a ton of them in Utah, but the ones that are here do seem like a good destination for the 55 and older communities or the 60 and older communities.
Why do you think there's not more of them here?
Because it's kind of tricky to get that designation with the governing documents and the management of it. Yeah.
Well, I think the community feel of having, parents, grandparents move back in with the family, in a lot of ways, it's a cultural thing too. I remember I come from the Latino culture. I was sitting with the family once, a client, and they were saying, mom's going to move back in with us. We don't send our family to senior living, assisted living places. Like, we take care of them. Right.
Right. Which, and you can understand that, and honestly, that could be a great help. It also provides a babysitter for your kids too, right? I think they take advantage of that a lot.
Well, and building the memories, would like my grandma to be, with my kids more often, just so that they get to know her and she has those memories with them, and she misses them when she's not there.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Colin. And one more time, give everybody your phone number in case they want to reach out and they have questions about downsizing or about, looking for a place that better fits their needs.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for having me on the show, guys. Again, my name's Colin Brinkerhoff. I'm with Ameritrue Real Estate and Management. We do developing, we do property management, HOA management, and regular residential sales. So I'd love to hear from you. I do a free consult. My phone number is 801-380-8995, or you could find my website at utahinvestorsagent.com.
All right. Thanks for joining us on Remember Me. We'll see you next week. We'll